Begin the current daf, Maseftes Becharis daf Lamadal. Begin four lines down with the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we had our previous Mishnah, which was also mentioned in the Braisa, which we had differences of opinions regarding the halacha, regarding a firstborn animal that is congested with blood. Could one go ahead and do Hakazos Dam, let the blood, so that the animal will live? And there were different opinions, never, always, depending if it's going to develop a blemish or not. So the Gemara, there were those who thought to compare that same achlekes to a Mishnah Maseftes Trumas that spoke about a chavis of truma, barrel of wine of truma, that had a doubt regarding if it was tamei or not. So they rose, we had the same ideas. You could for sure make it that it could become tamei. You cannot. You could do something in the middle. So there are those who wanted to compare the two halachas, and the Gemara refuted on two points. One is that the Gemara said that there is different svaros you could say that not necessarily are the same thing. Maybe by the case of Truma that Nelba Sabuk Tumma, maybe Eliyahu is going to come and is going to say it's going to be Tar. Or in contrast, by the other case, by the Bechor of our Mishnah, but maybe there, if you're going to wait, it's going to die. So therefore, it's not indicative that they're exactly the same Achleikasim. Now, additionally, the Gemara had said, besides the point, they're not arguing in logic, they're arguing in Psukim, in Drashim of the crime, of the Pasuk. As the Gemara brought regarding the Halacha of our Mishnah, that since it's considered already a Baal Mum because of Shachazi Dam, where it's going to die, and Lacham Mum Gadol Mazeh. So the question is now, is there a prohibition of inflicting a blemish in a blemished animal? That was Machlik, is not interpreted the Psukim. And that Agamar continues and says, and Hacha B'Krei Plig, and here also regarding the case of when you have the Truma, that there's a Suffolk, if it became Tummy, their Machlik is in how to interpret the Psukim regarding the obligation of safeguarding the Tahara of Truma. And the Chema Amr Shlokish, Chema Rab Nachman Amr Rab Bavua, the Pasuk says about Midbar. Here, behold, Hashem says, I have given to you the safeguarding of my Truma. Now, it says in the plural, Trumaisai. Now, Eliezer Saba, he holds, and he's the opinion that said in that we had brought, in that Mishnah Masechet Truma, said you have to go ahead and conceal it, even though it was out in the open and maybe became tummy, you got to still safeguard it that it does not become tummy. Is because b'shtei truma sakasim medaber. There's plural over here. The pasuk is talking about two types of trumas. What does it mean? Achas truma tahar. One is truma that's tahar. V'achas truma teluya. If it's tummy, of course, it's already tummy. But the second, the plural of it, is saying, and then there's suspended truma where you're not sure. V'am rachmana v'ad l'shima. The Torah is still saying you have to safeguard it, like it says mishmeres. And that's why he says you still have to conceal it. Whereas Rabbi Shua, who he says that, no, actually, you could even uncover it, put it in the situation it's going to become tummy, is because Trumasi Ksiv. Although we read it Trumasai, but it's written Trumasi in the singular, because or else it would have a Vav. It's written as if it's saying in the singular to tell you that, no, only one Truma that you have to safeguard, which if it's Tar, if it's Suffolk, then you don't have to safeguard anymore, and you could put it out in the open, and then let it become tummy, then you could at least use it for a zilo, for just spraying it on the ground to give a good aroma. Now, on this interpretation, the Gemara asks, "Lememad Rabbi Eliezer Sav, is that to say Rabbi Eliezer holds Yeshim Lemikra, that we give primacy to the way we pronounce something, not how it's written? Because that's how we're explaining. He says it's pronounced Trumasai, so there's two, Trumatara and Teluya, not like the opinion of Rabbi Shua, but is that so? But Ramina, that seems to be contradicted from a different Braisa, that he seems to say that no, Yeshim Lemisairis. The Braisa quotes the Pasuk in Shema Yischof Aleph, where it says that if the Jewish maidservant is not going to find favor in the eyes of her master, who he's to marry her, and that's the most ideal way that he could use up the remaining years of her service, so he's not allowed to have her be dominated by a foreign person to sell her, because they have done begida to her. Now, what does that mean? So the first opinion says, Kivin Shapiris Talisa Yaleha, since he covered his cloak over her, meaning like the pasuk he's talking about, Ashaloya Ada, the Adan did Yud, which Yud to a number of means to say that he marries her, he uses that remaining money of the service that is owed to him from her, he uses it as Kedushin money, and he marries her. And it says, Bevigdeva, from the terminology of Beged, that he, so to speak, takes her his cloak and covers it over her, which is the terminology of being intimate. That shuv eini rishai. Oh, so then once this Adon had done that and married her, so now the father is not who had he's the rights regarding selling his daughter. He doesn't have any more rights lamachar to sell her anymore, even if the master will divorce her. Why? She's still under 12. It's because a person is not allowed to sell his daughter for shivchas to be a servant achar ishas after she already was married. That's the Rebbe Kiva. Rabbi Eliezer, he says a different interpretation in Bevigdevah. He says, Kivin Shebagadba, since her father was treacherous towards her, that he sold her as a maidservant. That's what Bevigda means from Begida. Shuv Ein Rishay Lamacher. So then he's not allowed to go ahead and sell her anymore because a person cannot sell his daughter for Shifchas, Acher Shifchas. But after Ishus, Rabbi Eliezer holds, he actually could sell her. The Gemara over there in Kedushin, Naf Yitches Mevez explains that Rabbi Kiva holds Yeshem LeMikra. We give primacy for how we read it. And therefore, since we read Bevigdai, we read it that as if it has the terminology of Beged. But the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer holds Yeshem LeMisiris. We give primacy for how it's written. Now, it's written Beis, Beis, Gimel, Dal, Vav. Now, that's without a Yud. That would be read Bevagdaiva, a terminology of Begida, like all words would have written without a Yud. So we're not going to read it Bevigdaiva, that's how we read it, but how's it written? Bevagdai. And therefore, he interprets it as, oh, Ein Shifchas Acha Shifchas. It's going on the father, since he was treacherous towards her that he sold her as a Shifcha, he can't sell her as a Shifcha again. One thing you see from that braisa is that he holds Yeshem LeMisiris. Yet in the previous interpretation, we said he holds Yeshem LeMikra. So this Gemara, you're right. Ella, rather, the machlikis that we're saying from Kroy, from the psukim that they have regarding that previous mishnah Masechtas Trumas, is as follows. Hacha b'hakim, if what they're disagreeing about is regarding when it says in the pasuk lecha that it should be for you, that the machlikis is as follows. B'shuas haba, he holds haruy lecha shamer. What's for you? That's fit for you. Then you have to safeguard it when it's tar, that you could use it. V'she'en haruy lach leitishma. If it's not fit for you, because here you actually can't do anything with this truma that's tluya, that's suspended, because you can't eat it because maybe it's tummy. You can't use vizil because maybe it's tar. So therefore there's no obligation of safeguarding, and therefore he says that you can put out in the open because it's tluya. Veber Eliezer, he says, no, hanami ruyehi. This is also considered fit. Why? Shemi yav Eliyav, it's erendi, because maybe Eliyav is going to come and say, oh, that nothing happened to her and it's going to be tar. So because of that, then there's still considered lacha, and therefore that's why he holds you have to safeguard. But again, it's not the same achalikis as we had in the halacha of our Mishnah. It's rather how we understand the pasuk of lacha. Now the Gemara concludes that Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, he says, halacha is krib Shimon. We quoted the Rib Shimon as one of the opinions that regarding this halacha, b'chayr shachazaytam, says Shmuel the halacha is like Rib Shimon. Now, ma'askim l'Rav Nachman b'Yitzchak says, hey Rib Shimon, which Rib Shimon is he going like? Because we actually quoted this machlekes in our Mishnah, and then in the Braisa. Elim Rib Shimon the Masnitin, if he think he's telling us halacha is like Rib Shimon in the Mishnah, who he said in the Mishnah that you could do hakaza, you could do the bloodletting, even though that he's going to be making a blemish. But in the Mishnah, he didn't say that you could also then go ahead and slaughter the animal because now it's blemished and you could use it. If he's coming to say halacha is like Rabbi Shimon to the Mishnah, well, ad hashta le'shmin Shmuel, didn't Shmuel already tell us davashin meskava muta, which is the foundation of Rabbi Shimon's opinion on Mishnah, that if you're not intending to do something forbidden, you could do that act. So here, although you're not allowed to inflict a blemish on the Bukhar, but that's not his intention. His intention is just to heal his animal that doesn't die. So we already know he holds like Rabbi Shimon because of our Rabbi Chiya Barashi Marav. Chibrash said in the name of Rav, the halacha is Krib Yehuda, who he says Masech L'Shabbos of Chobbeza Medalf, that Davashin Miskavin is awesome, even though you're not intending, but it's going to be prohibited, you're not allowed to do it. Rav Chanan Bar Ashi Omar Shmuel, halacha is Krib Shimon. Now, Rav Chia Bar Avin, Masnu B'loi Gavri, he learns their machlekes without Rav Chia and Rav Chanan, straight up. Rav am halacha Krib Yehuda, Ushmuel am halacha Krib Shimon. But one thing is, why did Shmuel have to say that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon over here? We already know he holds like Rabbi Shimon's opinion of Davashim is Gavin is Mutter. So Eli rather says the Gemara Rabbi Shimon de Braisa. He was coming to tell us that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon in the Braisa that adds on even more. And Rav Shesha Bar David de Masna Lebehedi, he explicitly learns this that Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, he quoted Shmuel as saying halacha is like Rabbi Shimon de Braisa, which in the Braisa he said not only could you inflict a blemish, but you could even now go ahead and slaughter the animal as a blemished Bechor, based on that blemish that he inflicted, because since his intention was not to make a blemish to permit it, rather just that the animal shouldn't die, so therefore we don't penalize him, and therefore that's the Rib Shimon that he was coming to say, the halachas like him. Now, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding inflicting a blemish into a Bechor, so the previous Mishnah was talking about that you just want to have the animal survive. The intention is not to inflict a blemish, and still we had machlekes regarding what could be done. Our Mishnah talks about deliberately inflicting a blemish in Bechor, which is forbidden. Says the Mishnah, Hatzarim Oizen Bebuchar, if someone nicks the ear of the firstborn animal, and we're talking about the Kohen, who he's the owner, and he wants to be able to use this animal, so Hareza Leishcha Deilamas, he's not allowed to slaughter this animal forever. That's the Rebbe Eliezer. The Chamim, the sages say, no, Noile Beimum Achar, that if it develops another blemish, you're right, you can't slaughter it based on that blemish, but if it develops another blemish, then yishchid lav, then you could slaughter the animal based on that blemish, because that's a bona fide blemish, and then you could use the animal. So the Gemara asks, Mikanish Rabbi Eliezer Lo'ilim, does Rabbi Eliezer penalize forever, as he said in the Mishnah, that's it, you did something wrong, you tried to make it that you could use it, and you made a blemish, that no matter what happens, you can't use it forever, it's an eternal penalty. But Rimini seems to be contradicted to the Mishnah Masechtas Nagaim, that Rabbi Eliezer is the one who doesn't penalize forever. The Mishnah says as follows, Misha Hoysele Baharis, if someone had a type of a nega affliction on his body, and we continue to him as Beis B'Niktetzah, and then unintentionally, he was walking somewhere or something, and it got cut off. Sotar, so he's pure, he just has to finish up the process, but he doesn't have the neg anymore, and we don't penalize, he didn't do it on purpose. But Katitza Miskavim, but let's say he deliberately went and cut off the nega. So Rabbi Yezoy, he says as follows, he says, L'kishivol le'neger achar, when he develops another blemish, which now anyways he's tummy because he has a new nega, then yiter himenu, then he could be purified from the first one, because we'll go based on this one, on this new nega, if he gets healed from this one, then we'll say he's tar from all of it. Now, this is the point that the Gemara is asking from, where we see that he's not eternally penalized, that he's going to be considered as a mitzvah forever. We say, no, it's revealed now retroactively that had he had the first one, just like he's healed from the second one, he would be healed from the first one. So therefore, okay, now he's already cleansed and purified from most of the first nega that he has. That's Rabbi Yezu. That's the question that we ask him from. Now, the Vachamim, the sages say, no, acha tifrach bekule. Until that second nega, because the first one's already gone, until the second one that he develops spreads throughout his entire body, oh, then there's nothing to be concerned about. Because even if the first one would still be around, even so he'd be tar, like the Pasuk says in Yirkei Gimel, that paradoxically, if the tzaras covers the entire body, he actually becomes tar. So if it covers his whole body, so that's already a cleansing, it's a reset button. So, oh, if that happens, then he'll be tar. Oh, yeah, chetemayit baharta, or if his original beharis gets diminished, mikigris, more than the size of a gris, which is the minimum size of being considered a neg of a tzaras, if before it was cut off, it was that size, okay, then it wasn't problematic anyways, and then we're not going to penalize him for having cut it off. Because Rashi says, if at the time that he cut it off, it was a shir nega, then actually the chacham hold, and we can actually explain this shortly, they hold actually he wouldn't be purified forever, unless if you have tifrach bakuli, it spreads throughout, because they hold that we do penalize forever. But one thing is, Rabbi Eliezer does not hold like that. So that contradicts where we're quoting him as saying that in our Mishnah, that you do penalize forever. So Rabbi Rav Yosef Damar Tavaya, they both say, Kikon is Rabbi Eliezer. When did we say in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer penalizes forever? Is b'mamayna. Is his money, is his assets, like his b'chayr, his firstborn animal. But b'gufa l'kamis, in his own body, regarding the cutting off of the tzaras, there we don't penalize forever. Why? So the Gemara explains, Mamayna, regarding his money, regarding the animal, ikalameima da'aslamavit. You could say that he might come to do this and afflict and make a nick in the ear, because either way, he's like, why not? Because he's going to think to himself, let me make a blemish in the animal. If they let it go, they permit it because, oh, it's blemished, so I definitely gain. Now I could use it. When it's unblemished, I can't use it for anything. And if not, so what I lose? So I'll have to wait till it develops another blemish? Anyways, I would have had to wait till it develops a blemish. That's why we have to penalize him and say that, no, even if it's going to develop another blemish, that, no, you're not going to be able to use it anymore, so that he doesn't come to go ahead and do this prohibition of inflicting a blemish. Can you think to say that he would do the same thing in his own body? That he would go and take this doubt and cut it off, even if we wouldn't penalize him forever? No, most definitely he wouldn't do that. And therefore we don't have to penalize him forever, because he'd be concerned that maybe he wouldn't develop another blemish ever again. And then I'll never become purified. Because even if he will develop another blemish, another nega, so what I gain by cutting it off? I'm back to where I started, where I would have to have waited for the first one anyway. Better I don't do anything, because maybe this first one will be healed. But if I take it off, there's nothing to be healed. I have to wait till another one develops. Maybe another one won't develop. So therefore, there, Rabbi Eliezer didn't hold that you have to penalize forever. Now, Amar Rav, he asked, fine. Rabbi Eliezer, Kasha. So that was definitely a contradiction we had. But the Rabbanon of our Mishnah that don't penalize forever, they say once another mum comes, it's permitted. Adrabanan, on the opinion of the Rabbanon that we just brought, that said, no, it's an eternal penalty that this person will always be a mitzayra, loy kasha, that's not a difficulty. Why don't you resolve that question? So Ella rather says Rava that yeah, Rabbi Eliezer like Kasha Kedushin, like we answered that we said by his own money he might do it. So the only deterrent is for a eternal penalty. By himself he wouldn't do it, so we don't have to. Rabbanan namale Kasha. He says, and there's a way to resolve the opinion of the Rabbanan. Because Hacha over here in our Mishnah by the laws of the Bechayr, b'mayda avid kansua. What he tried to do is where we penalize him. Hacha over here by the laws of the Beharis, b'mayda avid kansua. What he did is where we penalize him, as the Gemara explains. B'mayi chavin l'mishayi. In the halacha of the Mishnah, of our Mishnah regarding the Bechayr, what did he try to do to permit it, for prohibitively? B'hai muma. It was by inflicting the blemish. So b'hai muma kansua rabbanan. So what he tried to do is what we penalize him. The Baha'i Mumma, Loy Lishtarli, with that blemish, the animal will not become permitted. Until, however, it develops another blemish. That he didn't do anything wrong. That will permit it. Now, V'hach B'mai David Kansua. And here in the laws of the Beharis, also what he did, we penalize him. What did he try to do? Ichav and L'tehuri Nafshi B'hai Ketzitza. He wanted to make himself pure by cutting off that Beharis. B'hai Ketzitza, Kansu Rabbanan. And that cutting off is where we penalize him. Now, since that cutting off didn't help to purify him, so it comes out that he has an eternal tum over here, because we're considering like the nega, like phantom nega, like as if it's still here. Because who's to say, even if another one develops and he gets purified from that one, that he would have been purified from this one? Maybe it's only the second one that would have been purified, meaning gotten removed, but not the first one. And therefore the Rabban say, in that case, yeah, it will be a nega oilamas. But it's not a contradiction from our Mishnah, because we're just penalizing him in whatever he tried to do. Now, Bayer HaPap, he goes back to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and he says that when Rabbi Eliezer said, regarding the person who cut off the Beharis, and he said, okay, when he develops another Nega, that Yitar Hemeno, then he'll be purified from the first one. So, Yitar Tanan, is it like the words there, actually we have, that the words are, he'll be purified, which sounds like, as the words work, nega achar, immediately when he develops another nega, then yitar him and he'll be purified from the first one. So is it right when the second nega comes, he's actually right then purified from the first nega, which he had cut off? Or is it, and he will be purified, which that sounds like, when he develops a second nega, v'yitar himen, and he's purified from the second one, from the last one, then he'll be purified from the first one. But it's not immediately when he develops a second nega that the first one is like its tar, it's, and he'll be purified from the second one, then the first one will be purified with it. So the Gemara wonders, l'may nafkamin, what's the point of Rav Papa's question? What's the difference? Even if you say yitar tanan, so, okay, right when you develop the second one, you're pure from the first one, but anyways, he's tamei memanav shach until the second one is purified because he's tamei now from the second one. So what's the difference? Says the Gemara, the difference is l'chasen shenir by nega. The difference is for the groom who develops a nega, the second nega develops during his sheva brachas, b'mei chasnas. Because now we'll learn the Mishnah Seftas Nagum that says as follows. Chasen Shanir by Nega, a groom that develops a Nega. So Noisimlay, we give him that the Kohen will not analyze the Nega, Zayim Yom, the period of the Sheva Brachas of the 7 days, because as long as the Kohen doesn't see and doesn't make a Tameh, it's not Tameh. Because the Torah makes the Tameh of the Tzaras contingent on the verification of the Kohen. So we give this dispensation, loy, for him, ulitz talisay, for his talis, for his cloak, if let's say develops a nega in his garments, uvliksusay, for his garments, that we're not going to go ahead and declare tameh. And v'chem b'regel, the same thing applies on the yomtiv, the same thing is for every person. Noisim l'kol yimei regel, we give all the days of the yomtiv, that even if it develops a nega tzaras, we don't have it analyzed so that it's not tameh, so that he doesn't have that tzar during yomtiv. So that explains the Gemara the question. If you say that the girsa was that immediately, right when they developed the second blemish, the first one becomes tar, so mekamesa tarle. So right then, he becomes tar from the first one, and now lebesraisa, the second one that he developed, which was matar the first one, that one's not becoming tame, because not only zayin yamei mishnah, we delay it for the days of the sheva brachas, or a niyamta for every single person, that it doesn't develop, so he's actually going to be tar. Eli'i amrit v'yitar tanan, but if you say, and he'll be purified, which means through the purification of the second one, the first one becomes tar. So saif, at the end of the day, it doesn't help him anything, this that you're going to wait during the sheva brachas and not declare the second one tamei, because kila metame lebasraisa, even though we're not making the second one tamei, hametame become mekamaisa, but he's still going to be tamei from the first one until the second one becomes purified. So my what's halacha? Is it yitar or v'yitar? Tekes says, well, that sounds not clear, and therefore we don't know the answer to that question regarding the chasen that would have the second one during a Sheva Brachos. It's not clear if it gets immediately purified once the second one comes, because that like takes the place, or it's when the second one is purified, then the first one becomes purified. Now the Gemara goes back to expound on the halacha of our Mishnah. He says the same case that we described in the Mishnah. Someone nicks, blemishes the ear of the firstborn animal. So we said that either we penalize him forever, or we penalize him until he gets the next blemish. But says the Mishnah, let's say umes. Let's say the person who made the nick in the ear, he passed away. Mao liknus benoy achrav, what's the halacha? Do we penalize his son after him to say that the son also cannot eat from that blemish bachar forever, just like his father had the penalty? As the Gemara expounds upon the question. And that is because we have had this question elsewhere in Shas. Masechta Gittin, if someone sells his slave to a non-Jew, so the Gemara tells us over there that we penalize him, and he has to go ahead and redeem his slave from the non-Jew up until 10 times the value of the slave. Now the Gemara there asks, if the seller dies, what's halacha? Do we penalize the son who inherits him after him that he also has to redeem up to 10 times the value? Now that says the Gemara, Imtim Tzulema, even if you're going to say, to try to resolve from that halacha over there, Masechta Gittin, then Meicher Avdelev Kachav Mameista, let's say someone sells a slave to a non-Jew and he dies, that Kansub and Acher of that there, we do penalize the son after the father. And that says the Gemara, that wouldn't be a proof, because that would make sense, because the Chol Yema V'Yema Mafkele Mimitzis, every single day, you're precluding that slave who has somewhat a law of a Jew from fulfilling all the mitzvahs, because now he's by a non-Jew, he's not going to be able to. So therefore we would say, okay, we're going to extend that penalty from the father to the son. But that wouldn't prove anything to the question that we're asking regarding Tzarim Oizim B'chark, where you don't have that reality. Maybe there we wouldn't penalize the son, and it's only a penalty on the father, and the son, since it's blemished, would be able to have benefit from it. Moreover, says the Gemara, there's a Gemara Moed Katan Afid Bezim Abez that says if someone intended to do his work on Chol HaMoed, for example, he says, oh, my vineyard, I'm busy doing work, let me leave it for Chol HaMoed, I have nothing to do, I'll harvest it then, and look, on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to harvest because it's going to be a loss, and Dover Ovid is permitted to be done, the sages permit Dover Ovid to be done on Chol HaMoed. And that halacha is that, no, he has to suffer that loss, and he's not allowed to harvest it because he was mechave malachta, he was intending to do it on Chol HaMoed, that's not permitted. Now, the Gemara there asks, let's say that individual who is leaving his vineyard to be harvested on Chol HaMoed, he passes away before Yom Tov. What's the halacha? Do we penalize his son who now took over the vineyard and say, no, you're also not allowed to harvest the vineyard on Chol HaMoed because it was left for that? And that says the Gemara, even in Tim Tzulema, if you say, Kiv malachta b'moed b'meis, let's say someone intended to do his work on Chol HaMoed and he passed away, that we don't penalize the son who inherits the vineyard from the father, and we let him harvest it because of Davar Abadon Chol HaMoed. Yeah, there you would say the reason why we don't penalize the son is Meshum Delay Avda, is because the father never did Le'isura. He never violated any prohibition because he died before Yom Tov. Leaving it wasn't a violation. So therefore, but there we're not going to penalize the son. But Hoch over here, where the father did a prohibition, he actually did inflicted a blemish on the Kodshim, on the Bukhar, my, what would the halacha be? L'didei kanser rabbanan v'halesi? Is it the what's called the gavra? Did we penalize the person, and he's not around anymore, and therefore there's no extension of that penalty? Adima l'mamayni kanser rabbanan? Or is the penalty in the what's called the chavtzin, the object, in the money, in the firstborn itself, v'isim, the animal's still here, and the penalty's in that animal, and even the son cannot go ahead and benefit from it, either forever or until the next blemish. So Amalei, Sir Zay responded to him, and he says, Chinisua, we learned in the Mishnah Masech the Shvias. The Mishnah says, Sadash and Eskavtsa b'Shvias, regarding a field, that someone gathered all the thorns which were strewn and spread out throughout the entire field. He cleaned up the field from all those thorns in the Shemitah year, when you now do work on the ground. So the halacha is, Tizru l'matzah Shvias. Immediately, right after the Shemitah, he's allowed to go ahead and plant his field, because we're not going to penalize him for anything, because he didn't really do any significant type of work in the ground itself. He just cleaned it up from the thorns, then we're not going to penalize him. But if, let's say he made it better, he had it fertilized through these calves and all these different entryways of fertilizer that they come throughout the field, or Nidaira, which is a more extensive, that they have these, the Nidaira is from the word of deer, which is from they would pen animals in a certain place and leave them there for a month or two so that when they relieve themselves, that will fertilize the field. So here, leitizul lematzah shviz. Here, you're not allowed to plant your field after the Shemitah year because we penalize the person because he did a significant amount of work working the field, having it fertilized, and which is forbidden to be done, and therefore we penalize him. Now, Va'amar in the Gir says, Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Chanina said, Nektinan, we have a tradition that hitiva umeis, that if the person fertilized, and which he would not be able to plant after the Shemitah year, but he died, Allah is b'noi zayra, his son could plant the field right after Shemitah. So Amma, we see, although Shemitah, as Tosfos explains, is a very severe halacha, l'didei kanser rabbanan, for the person himself, as we penalize, l'brei l'kanser rabbanan, for the son we don't penalize, and the same thing would apply to the halacha of Bechayr, that although the father would be forbidden to have benefit from it, the son, since it's a blemish, Bechayr would be able to have benefit from it. And similarly, Amma Abayi says, Nektina, we have a tradition, as the Gemara continues on top of Lamahayim and Aleph, timit taharis v'meis. If someone took someone's taharis, stuff that are pure, and he made a tamei, and he passed away, that like concept in the Acharav, that we don't penalize the son to compensate the way we would require the father. So although that person himself, we would penalize, as the Gemara says in the beginning, Mesechta Baba Kama of Dalma Beis, but the son wouldn't have to compensate. My time, what's the reason? Because really, Hezek Shein and Nikr, a damage that's not recognizable, because here you have the tyrus, the thing is intact as it always was, the damage which was making a tummy is not recognizable, Leish Me Hezek. It's not considered damage to make the person obligated, even the person himself, on the biblical level. It's only kenasid rabbanan. It's a rabbinic penalty. But the day kenasid rabbanan for the person himself is we penalized him, legava, lebrei, lekenasid rabbanan for his son, the rabbis didn't penalize. And again, like we said before, the penalty is for the person, not for his son. And therefore, regarding the halacha of Mishnah, mitzvah ma'is machar, the penalty would be only on him. But if he passed away, his son would be able to have benefit from it because ultimately it is a blemish machar.